Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast That Wouldn't Die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Hey, this is Casey Shearer.
And this is Ray.
Do you like pop culture?
We're pretty sure you do.
Then come on over and check us out at deluxeedition.show.
You will not be sorry. Or maybe you will be. I don't know.
Anton Tobias never had much on his mind.
Don't you think you should have like a goal?
My dream life would be to lie around all day in bed and watch TV while some hot broad delivers me food.
And he always had time on his hands.
Four bodies have been discovered and the killer is still at large.
Until one of them
What's happening to me?
Got a mind of its own.
Welcome to the last episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, Zarin.
I'm scratching my nose for those watching on video. Hello.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld where he's scratching his nose, from a certain angle. It looks like he's doing something else. Yeah.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah.
The pick.
This week, we're discussing the horror classic, Idle Hands, starring Devon Sawa, Jessica Alba, Seth Green, Vivica A. Fox. It seems like it's an all-star cast.
It seems so.
This is one of those movies where I saw
some of the ladies had their moments. Some of the men we never heard from again.
The guys in this movie, like Devon Sawa, in my mind, he's like a Scream king, but he was literally in two movies. That
makes him more of a Scream dunce.
Let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. He acts quite a bit, okay? But the two things that kind of leap to my mind are Idle Hands and Final Destination.
And I love.
Right.
Final Destination.
And he was the star of both those movies.
And I didn't put that together because I hated him so much in this that my hate blinded me to his genius. He was just in a gutter somewhere drunk and...
Well, what I was going to say is this was one of those movies where it's like I saw it in the theater and thought it was a hoot and haven't seen it since. And I have a confession. I bought this movie for $14.
And?
Not thrilled with that purchase, to be honest.
It's the Cyrano de Bergerac, where I invited 10,000 people over to watch it, realized it was no longer free on HBO, and had to buy it for $20, only to discover that my beloved, every version of Cyrano de Bergerac is amazing, except the one with Peter Dinklage, which was a crime against humanity.
That's upsetting.
It's so upsetting. I own that forever.
Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre.
I wish I forgot this classic.
Yeah, is it a classic? With a comedic twist, ideally. Aaron, what's the latest? How you doing?
My belly, we're recording late, so my belly is full of, my son will not eat a salad, so I just boiled some Thai noodles and threw it on top of a salad and stirred it together.
I think you're saying I threw it on top of him.
And I told him to shove it up his ass. So he's none the wiser. So now
it's
my belly's full of that. Yeah, that's what I had to do. I used to have to puree mixed vegetables and hide it in the meatloaf. And then I had my youngest son would take like tweezers and start picking it out of the meat till you had this microscopic pile of green and red and whatever the hell other vegetables I pureed. My God. Nothing exciting, in other words.
That sounds very exciting. My kids, for some reason, were on a binge of all the Conjuring movies.
Well, who wouldn't be?
So they
except for the last ones, of course.
Well, they watched all three, and I sat down and I watched a little bit of The Conjuring 2, and I started falling asleep. So I'm like, I just need to go to bed. So I went to bed.
Are you just our father now? What the hell is this?
It's horrible.
You got the narcolepsy?
I am. It's a clinical condition. I'm sensitive about it. I went to bed, and I swear to God, 10 minutes later, my wife gets up to go to the bathroom, and I thought it was a Conjuring moment. I was like, she's been possessed by the nun or something. I don't know what's happening. My wife is not thrilled with this.
So was this one of the night terror things, or were you honestly confused? You didn't run and tackle her, right?
I did not.
Shriek like a little child?
Here's the thing. In my defense, there was actually a figure walking across my room in the middle of the night. Okay?
It's true.
So the Conjuring in the brain, it made me go like, whoa. But I realized, look, I'm talking 5 or 6 seconds. I thought it was a Conjuring situation. Then I realized, oh, it's my wife going to the bathroom. But in that 5 or 6 seconds, a little uneasy, to say the least. Are you surfing the internet in the middle of our show?
I got a text from a boss about a restorative circle I've requested.
Okay, well, I guess that's acceptable. I was concerned you would become a screenager, or as my kids call me, a screen aisle. You're screen aisle, Dad.
I have put it on silent.
Well, that's something. Thank you for that. Oh, and another thing, I was editing an episode earlier today, and I realized that the episode I put out last week, I had the wrong movie trailer in it.
And no one noticed.
Or people were too polite to mention it. That's how I prefer to think of
people
it.
People on the interweb, that's not something you generally say.
Well, the thing about it, if you're kind of, you know, listening to podcasts the way I do, where you're like doing the dishes, you drive to work, whatever, the clip I chose does not specifically say the wrong movie. It's like the opening where it's like, you know, it could be any movie. They went to the wrong house. You know, one of those kind of...
They put on the wrong trailer.
That's basically what it is. So... Thank you. Thank you to all those polite people not mentioning that I messed up. So good time. Such is life.
Maybe you could just say it was a sneak peek at the next week's.
Well, and because that's the other thing. I'm not a young man. So as you know, I'm juggling promoting our current episode while also saying, hey, guys, next week, this one's coming up while I'm editing the one after that. So then It's an American Horror Story. People don't care. First world problems. But that's what happens. I make mistakes. Such is life.
Did I tell you I couldn't even figure out how to watch the new American Horror Story? It seemed to be like a part two of a previous episode. So as far as I know, I don't even know if I watched the new American Horror Story. It's becoming so confusing just to watch TV.
Well, what is it? It's like there have been shows where you're like, oh, I enjoy this show. But then years pass between seasons and you're like, you're going to have to give me a heads up as to what exactly we left with.
To be different. And then all of a sudden, the current one just kept saying, did you watch any of them where the writers have the writer's block? So they drink this vampiric blood and now, you know, everything they write is golden, but they're vampires.
I think I told you. I watched the first season, but staggered. Like, I watched half it and kind of ran out of steam. Then finally went back to it. Then started the next season, ran out of steam, never went back. So it was like The Asylum. I, like, ran out of steam halfway through.
So you saw, like, the carnival with the freak show?
My kids love it. I think Grace and Caleb were watching them left, right, and center. They brought me back and said, Dad, you should watch Roanoke.
No!
So I watched half
of
Roanoke.
The worst! That is the... William thinks it's the best.
Yes.
But it is, in fact, the worst of all. And I wish I could erase my memory.
Either which way, I ran out of steam halfway through, regardless. So none of this matters. By the way, there's a certain contingent of our fans who do not like our little crazy bird walks. They want us to focus.
Whoa. Right? I don't think that's true.
You don't believe that?
And this is your children that have said that?
They don't listen to the show, nor does anyone related to
us. Did we talk about... that one of your children created a secret account called The Fan That Would Not Die. We were all excited that we had a stalker for a minute.
We had a serious fan. I realized it was my youngest daughter, who, might I add, has not checked that account in about 3 years. So that one fandom, it bit the dust, I'm
Damn
sad
it.
To say.
The
Damn fan it. That did die. Very upsetting. Give us the 30, I was going to say 30
minutes. The 30-minute.
The 30-second synopsis of Idle Hands, if you please.
So, serial killer loose in the town. Oops, it's the stoner. I must have also bumped my head because I'm not sure why his hand's possessed. But, you know, if you cut it off, then it frees it to wiggle around. Vivica Fox stabs it with a knife. It turns to powder. The end. No one cares what happened to the serial killer. No explanation of where his parents are, why his parents aren't also zombies, who's paying his bills, the house must stink, yada, yada, yada. I think I was drunk when I saw this because I remember it being so funny.
Yeah.
And it's so not.
You're right. Yeah, at the time, I think this is like 99, thereabouts. I actually saw this movie with Megan.
I
know she didn't remember.
Like it was 1999. Right. That's the only excuse.
My sister Megan went with me to see this. I think we were in Bakersfield visiting for some reason. And we saw it. Mighty Joe Bong and Me Needs Me Spinach. These were things that I thought was hilarious. It's meant to be kind of stoner comedy. But watching it now as a 48-year-old non-stoner, I found it not great.
Irritating.
Yes.
It's not Seth Rogen stoner.
No.
No. It's not Spicoli stoner. These dudes really have no charisma. And our main character, who was amazing in Final Destination, because that's a solid film.
Yes.
Was so irritating in this. It was just like they phoned that shit in.
We're spilling the beans early and often. Now, I saw it in the theater, like I said, back in 1999.
I don't even know.
You don't
I
even
don't
know.
Know.
Could have
I
been
may
any.
Have seen it, I may have seen it 10 years ago on TV.
Who's to knows? Say?
Who's to say?
Well, and it was, I remember this was, you had Devin Sawa, like I said, but this was kind of when I was introduced to fresh-faced young Jessica Alba. Like, this was a like, who's this? She's a, you know, a new
half
hotness
naked,
onto the scene. Late, absolutely.
Dancing around. Absolutely. Although, looks so young.
Yes.
What's her name? Looks old enough to be her mother.
Vivica A. Fox?
Yes. Vivica looks old enough to be her freaking mom.
But Vivica looked... This was Vivica in her prime of life.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just talking... I'm not saying she doesn't look good. Hold your horses, son.
Right.
I'm just saying she looks so incredibly young.
No, you're right. You're right. Jessica Alba, it was a little questionable. I mean, because they were kind of... They were fuzzy on the details. You know what I mean? Are these, I'm assuming they're high school kids. Is that what
I assume
to think?
So. And I assume the people who wrote it obviously were high too.
I said high school. by the way, not high two, but either way, you never see them like go to school though. There's a school, there's a dance, but there's a dance because there's a serial killer on the loose and it's Halloween and they don't want the kids roaming the streets.
They should leave their house and go to the party because Lord knows nothing bad happens at proms and such.
Nothing. It's a safe place.
It's ridiculous.
No question. Why don't we jump right in?
Oh my God. It's
to the highlights.
Kevin.
Please.
Why is his hand possessed?
No explanation.
I don't remember it being chopped off and then sewn on with a criminal's hand, which is all the other.
That was body parts. That was body parts. No. The movie starts and his hand's already possessed.
Okay? Yes.
Right.
Gone from smoking oregano and nutmeg.
That's correct. Yes. They talk about Vivica A. Fox is like some kind of druidic warrior hunting down the possessed hand. Okay. So she went to one place, like the penitentiary where they're about to put somebody on the electric chair. Because I guess she has to stab the person who has the possessed hand. But by the time she gets there, the hand is just a little like piece of bacon. Like it's already left his hand. He doesn't have his crispy hand is evidence of like the possession's left his body.
So how does it jump onto the stoner hand?
No explanation.
He scored some weed from the murderer right before.
No explanation.
Okay.
His hand's already possessed, and he's already killed at least two people.
Well, that's the other thing, because his parents are dead, right? But he has no memory of that, but he has perfect memory of everything else.
Correct. Well, that's where it gets fuzzy, right? There's moments.
You mean right at the beginning.
Well, okay, yes. So Fred Willard and his wife are the parents. They're up in the bed, and they're killed by an unseen... We don't know who did it.
I do love Fred Willard.
And he's not funny in this movie.
No.
He does not. Fred Willard does absolutely nothing in this movie. It was very... Granted, he's dead 5 minutes in, but...
Yeah.
Give me a what happened? Give me something.
What happened? A Mighty Wind reference. Thank you.
Give me something. Throw me a bone here, Fred Willard.
That could have been anybody. It could have been the guy who pumps your gas.
Oh, it could have been.
I guess there are no guys who pump your gas.
That is true. So then the next morning we meet Stoner Joe, whose name I can't remember. Do you remember his character's name? I could look it up, but I'm not going to.
We don't care enough.
Who seems... His hand isn't flipping out at this point, right? He's just...
No.
He's doing fine. He's smoking, trying to get some
his
more weed.
His parents have just vanished, and he doesn't care. His hand doesn't seem to really flip out until his homies show up.
Right. Right. And that's when he seems to be aware of it. Again, at that point, he has already murdered four people.
So he has murdered four people that he has no memory of.
Yes.
But now all of a sudden he has perfect memory.
Correct. Again, the first four people he murdered, no memory of it. And immediately afterward, his hand is fine. He has full control of his hand. Okay?
All these possessed hand things seem so confusing.
Yes.
It's a hand. It's not an arm.
Yes.
It doesn't control your feet.
Correct.
So, I mean, I guess it could pinch you, but how does it throw you across the room? Explain.
It almost seems like when the time comes where he discovers his parents' bodies and his friends come over, his friends' names are Mick and Panub. Do you know why they're called Mick and Panub?
I don't. It sounds terrible. Is a Panub some kind of penis related situation?
You'd think. let me repeat their names like this: Mick and Panub.
In all the wrong.
That's
places.
That's where it's from.
Oh my God!
Wuck and Panub. It's a reference from at least 17 years earlier on Saturday Night Live when Eddie Murphy played Buckwheat Sings, and he would do the hits. And I mean, who was seeing this movie and even remembers that? I don't know.
That was the good Buckwheat. I'm Gumby. I'm Gumby. Damn it.
I'm Gumby. Damn it. Absolutely.
Oh my God. Buckwheat
sings. Buckwheat sings.
It was so insane.
It was Buckwheat singing.
They would never do that now. Never.
It's Buckwheat singing Looking for Love, which was the love theme from Urban Cowboy from 81, I'm guessing. Anyway, these are deep pulls.
Deep pulls.
Anyway.
Every decade, country music comes back onto the mainstream.
Well, what you would get, since I'm going on this tangent, prepare yourself for a tangent. You would have, especially in the 80s, you had these country singers who had kind of a crossover hit. Like that
Devil
was a thing.
Went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
Charlie Daniels Band.
I mean, these were all on Urban Cowboy.
Oh, you think that's what it was? You think
Urban Cowboy was huge, and that's when all of a sudden everybody got to go to Gillies in Texas. Everybody's wearing boots. Everybody was listening to country music at least for a year.
But again, I don't think people were buying like full country albums, but you would get like Juice Newton had a couple hits.
Just call
you know what I'm saying?
Angel.
Eddie Rabbit had a crossover hit.
Dude, I had Eddie Rabbit. I Love a Rainy Night. That was on mainstream radio. Oh, I had that album. Columbia House.
Absolutely. I mean, and everybody loved Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, right?
Dolly's iconic. Kenny?
Oh, shut your trap. How dare you?
Leave me, Lucy.
Please. I rocked.
I find it fascinating that he was not always a country singer.
He was not. He was cut. What was that? The New Edition? This is okay.
It was the New Edition.
New Edition back in 69, where it was kind of like psychedelic folk or something like.
Yeah.
Which is a bizarre combination. Anywho, tying it back together. So he seems totally in control of himself until he discovers his parents' dead body. And his friends arrive, and
dead bodies are stuffed inside Halloween decorations.
Correct.
Like Jack Pumpkin.
100%.
He's so stoned that he doesn't smell. I mean, his parents are now gray. His parents are simply missing, so he's just skipping school, doing bong hits, and eating cereal.
Well, he doesn't
yelling,
even notice.
Mom, we're out of milk.
Right. He didn't even notice they were missing for a couple of days. He would just shout out, "Mom, we're out of milk!" Right, and then. Yeah, he didn't even notice. But what's interesting is his friends immediately suspect him. Did you notice that? Immediately, they're like, whoa, I think you're the killer, bro. And then that's when...
It's always close to home, brother.
Isn't that what they say? It's always the husband.
It's always the husband.
If you look a little closer.
If it's not the husband, it's the wife. Come on, friends.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Opportunity.
You got some of that weed dipped in the PCP, bro? Is that what's happening?
That's what it was. Absolutely. And that's when he starts getting the Jimmy arm, the chicken wing, where it's like suddenly now his hand.
we're doing visual effects.
Right. You got to tune in for the visuals. That's when it goes down. But it's like it does. It's kind of like he's half-assed trying to hold his hand back, but not really. Right?
No, it definitely wasn't full ass.
Definitely wasn't full ass. So he murders his friends. So now he's killed 6 people. But here's a little bit different. Because his friend, just like him, they are stoners and losers. When the bright light comes, they can't be bothered to follow the light to heaven. I mean, presumably, who knows, to the afterlife. So because of that, they just stay as zombies. And
they're
now they've forgiven him.
Yeah, and can't be bothered to walk across the room.
Correct.
So far away.
Right. I mean, he buries them and his parents in like the front yard or something.
I thought it was in the basement or something. You can't be burying people in your front yard.
Typically, no. Typically, no, but they come back to life, and now they're his, like, wacky, as they were in life, they're his wacky buddies in death.
Honestly, thanks to horror movies, I'm not sure if I could live in a house that has either a basement or an attic. I just don't. I assume that's where you just keep the bodies.
Well, I mean, I agree. True. I think it's worse when it's kind of like a fruit cellar, where it's like a dirt floor.
Fruit then that's cellar like a, only conjures up images of Psycho. You right. Think, fruity, don't you?
Like John Wayne Gacy down there burying people. Yeah, it's a bad thing.
That's a crawl space. That's what I have right now. I have an old house. So right. Between the wooden floors and the dirt, there's about 4 feet.
I mean, that's backbreaking. Digging a hole is backbreaking work. Now imagine doing it where you're hunched over.
That's why I just don't commit murder.
Don't
it's
do it.
So complicated.
You're telling me. So there's that shit going on.
Although I do have a list of people who may need some killing. But it won't be me, for the record, Your Honor.
It does sound like an admission. I'm going to be honest, Aaron, if there's anything you want to say.
No, I'm more like the light is very far away. So I assume, you know, I picked up four-year-olds, and they're kind of heavy after a while. So I'm assuming adult people and not the best health could be heavier. It's a lot of work.
Dead weight? 150 pounds, 175
pounds. They call it dead weight for a reason. Plus, there's all that digging. In the movies, you can dig 6 feet down, 15, 20 minutes. I'm assuming a better part of a week for me. Meanwhile,
absolutely.
Uncle Fester down there is not getting any better.
If you go to a graveyard, they aren't pulling out shovels. Right? They've got like
I can't get a bobcat underneath my house.
That is an issue.
Problem solved. I gotta work things out. I can't work them out the way they probably should have been worked out, but I only have a 4 foot crawl space.
That is true. So now there's a whole nother subplot where homie is in love with his neighbor across the street, young Jessica Alba, who writes poems and songs and
all wasted on him. All the fuck wasted on him.
Right.
In no world, even if he saved her whole family, would she be getting together with him?
Well, he's particularly greasy in this movie.
Now he's got a festery arm after he chopped off his devil hand.
Well, he didn't have the festery arm at first. And somehow it's like having the festery arm got... I mean, that closed the deal, right? He wasn't even going to go approach her. But his Jimmy hand kept ringing the doorbell and grabbing her ass, which, of course, she loved. Oh, whoo.
Yeah.
I had no idea you felt this way. That's slow right. down, they sailor.
Shoving your thumb up my ass, homie.
Ladies love that. Don't be bother asking, because the answer is yes. Asking.
Absolutely. Don't call us after you get arrested and beat down.
So that's the thing, though. He's in love with her, so even though his hand has gone crazy and there are corpses strewn all over the place, he's like, you know what? Can we get a rain check? He's not doing that.
He's like tying his crazy hand to the bed. Like he's like 14 years old. He's now suddenly the internet was not quite the same then as it was now.
That's
now
true.
He's suddenly Mr. Kinkmaster.
Well, and she was actually the one after he kind of let her know that he was interested. She was the one driving the ship. She's like pushing him on the bed. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. If it was that easy, what were you doing, bro? Why are you taking your time?
Good Lord.
Good Lord, indeed. So, like we said, then Vivica A. Fox arrives on the scene with a special knife to just do some stabbing. You think she's there to help. She's not really there to help. Because her plan is to, if you've got the Jimmy hand, she's going to stab you, and that's supposed to end the curse. But of course, very simply, he tried to chop his hand off with one of those bagel slicers.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work.
He's like, this won't even cut my bagel.
Well, it's like plastic.
He's like, what was he thinking was going to happen?
Anywho. Good Lord. What else you got? I've been kind of going through the entire plot.
What I got is, like all these movies, I'm going to still call it an 80s movie, even though it's a 90s, because basically the 90s is still the 80s. They got to the end and realized, we don't have any tits. So we got to have some up-close tits. So they have a couple of KISS fans.
That's right.
In a car that gets murdered, but not before we got to hear the late, great Ace Frehley's solo hit Back in the New York Groove. I was like, they got money to be licensing real music on this. How'd they get all this money?
Yeah, I forgot about that scene. You're absolutely right.
Back in the New York Groove.
Ace didn't do a lot of lead singing, and you know, with good reason.
That was a hit. I mean, that's when that Jackass period where they all were going to have their own solo albums. Yes. So, what are some of the other toe tappers? What was Paul Stanley's big hit? What was Peter Criss's big song on the solo album? Not Beth. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Very upsetting. But you're absolutely... So, these are two characters. I'm not sure we've ever seen them before.
No. No.
Right?
No.
Two randos.
I thought they were Juggalopes until I recognized the song. I'm like, oh, they're KISS fans.
Did you call them Juggalopes? I'm just a Juggalope, and everywhere I go. Anyway.
What are they called?
I think it is Juggalo. It's not Jackalope or something.
It's like
fans of the Insane Clown Posse.
It's a clown posse blended with a jackrabbit. So
that's
go.
It. They're a mythical creature. So they're getting down in the car of the park in the parking lot outside the dance. And when I say getting down, I mean they're really getting down. This isn't like heavy petting or anything. No, she's immediately topless. Pow!
Yeah, up close and personal. Two boobs fill the screen.
They explore the studio space, if you know what I'm saying. Good Lord. And right to oral sex. Pow!
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
Again.
And you knew it was so big with the high school kids.
They love it. They love it. And the other thing that was hilarious is they're literally on the edge of the park. So moment people are driving in, they see, like, legs out the window. I mean, it's like we're open for business here. Basically.
To tell the truth, I don't think people are cruising around the parking lot at the dance, peeking in windows, looking for biz.
I'm talking if you pull into the parking lot.
That's what I mean. And like at the high school.
It's right there. It's the.
I have to investigate that.
Investigating or not, legs hanging out the window. I think you get the idea. You get the. I don't have to look any closer to understand what's going down. And then, so while this is happening, then of course the evil hand, which is the disembodied hand, is like grabbing a boob while she screams. And whenever this happens a couple times, whenever somebody is killed, basically off screen, it's like they explode, like they're a water balloon, right? It's like you see the hand, and then it's like every window in the car.
What exactly is the hand doing? It's still. A hand.
It's a hand. How fast can it crawl? Right?
Yeah, it crawled all the way to the high school without being run over. And correct. Then it was microwaved and still continued its merry way.
Right. He chopped off the hand, threw it in the microwave, fried it. So it looks all zombie-ish now. And then it like sharpens its fingers in the pencil sharpener. To make it extra horrific. So, good times.
Jesus Christ. How about the old puppet theater where the hand becomes like a crazy, I don't know, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. I don't even know what the fuck that puppet was. And then they got it high and it like gave up?
Yes. At the high school, evidently right next to the auto shop, is the puppet theater. Which is pretty standard.
All high schools have it. All high schools have a puppet theater.
Right. Theater. They all have it. No question. I mean, we all have to express ourselves in creative ways. So yes, absolutely. I don't know why it was, you're right. It was like suddenly it was a hand, the hand goes in a hand puppet, and now it's a hand puppet for the rest of the movie.
And quite frankly, I want to say that might have been one of the best parts of the movie, because at least that was almost funny.
Well, and that's the thing. If you remember that scene,
you need to use that for the trailer.
You think the high little puppet thing?
The high little puppet thing where it just kind of rolls over because it's too high.
He's just too high.
A hand.
Yes.
Say that. The hand is too high. How do you get a hand high? Has anyone ever said to you, Kevin, my foot is too damn high?
It's like if you sit on the toilet for too long, then your foot gets way too high, right? It's that tingly sensation. How did the hand
at this point
grab Jessica Alba, drag her to the auto shop, put her on top of the car, and then tie her to the top of the car? It's a hand.
That is a great question, not to be answered here.
Not to be answered. Not to
Along
be answered.
With so many questions.
And then when the hand pulls the lever down to cause the car to raise up, potentially crushing Jessica Alba against the ceiling.
And by the hand, we mean the crazy little puppet hand.
Crazy little puppet hand. The two zombie dudes try to grab the lever and try to, it's overpowering us. It's a puppet. It's a little puppet hand. It has no leverage. It's hanging on to the gut. Who wrote this? Some kind of a psychopath?
I mean, honestly, that is always the problem with the possessed hand.
Yes.
Because it always ends up taking over your whole body, but it doesn't say it is.
Right.
But that's the only explanation of why your hand would make you go across the street.
Makes no sense.
I mean, unless it controls your whole arm, it's just laying there at the side. At best, it could sit there and spank your butt and, like, pinch your leg.
It couldn't even spank your butt.
Dude,
that's just a hand.
That's the horror movie I want to see. You have a possessed hand, but all it can do is be a possessed hand. So,
yes.
Like, if you're walking, it will, like, stick its fingernails into you.
It could scratch you a little bit, maybe, right?
It could
scratch
you
a little bit.
I want a whole story about that.
Well, it's like that thing where it's like the hand's like choking me. It's choking me. It's a hand.
Oh, it's like those movies where the cat comes flying at you.
Yes.
It's still a cat, right? That would be scary, and they have sharp nails, but you just go like that.
Yes.
You push it away.
And you're
good. It doesn't have super strength, except that it appears to fly out of nowhere.
That's correct. Like it's on a catapult.
So our catapult. Horror movie will be flying cats and a possessed hand that acts like a real hand.
Why not?
But that it's possessed.
Why not?
And it's just trying to live his life with a possessed hand.
With a Well, it's given like a crazy old Jimmy hand, like, because it isn't just the hand doing this stuff. It's literally like your whole arm and your shoulder, right?
Exactly. Now, if it had the whole arm and the shoulder, you could be watching TV and then turn around, your wife's dead. But if it's just the hand and you're eating cereal, I guess the possessed hand could then throw the cereal at you or at the people around you.
It caused the bowl to spill is what the hand could do. Yes.
That's right.
That's about the length and breadth of it.
Yeah. And hopefully not your wanking hand, because there might be some damage there.
That, you're right. That is a big issue. No question.
They're like, babe, it's like a stranger's hand. And all goes too far.
it's like a stranger's hand.
I so do then, feel like there are many men who might take the risk just to see what it would be like.
It's like the hand of an old trucker.
With the longshoreman, part of the nicotine stains on the fingertips. That's the part that really gets me going.
Good Lord. Okay. There's a scene we have to talk about where Jessica Alba and the other chick are escaping from the hand up through the air vents of the high school.
Oh, Jesus.
And which, this is a thing that people do when the air vents are always large enough for a
what
full
was the
person.
One where they were in the mall and the security robot?
Night of the Comets.
Night of the Comets.
Oh, no. Robots, no. Chopping mall.
chopping mall. Yes. They're trapped in the air vents, almost like a similar stage. Everybody, there's always like these horrible, crazy fans. They can't get the AC to work in my school, and they just replaced the unit. But the shopping malls are filled with nothing but guillotine fans that work no matter what. You can put a pipe in there and it'll eventually cut its way through solid iron.
Absolutely. And that's it's an industrial guillotine is essentially what
it's
it
like
is.
It's like an industrial meat slicer and bone grinder or whatever.
It is.
Oh, and it moves air around.
Absolutely. Yeah. So... Oh, Lord. Yes, that's a great scene. Jessica Alba stops it using her heel and scales down to freedom. Her friend starts to go down. And of course, a weird like cable comes down, wraps around her neck. Ah, help! Right up into the chopper. And that was the end of that.
And quite frankly, once the fan was going, how was it pulling her up? It would have just cut it.
Right.
Whatever.
I can't. Yes, I'm speechless. I'm stupefied.
Wow. Look, I do have one page of notes, but I've hit them all.
Oh, one thing I wanted to say. It's a costume party. Jessica Alba is going, I guess it's like, what is she? She's like an angel or something. I'm trying to remember what her costume was.
Oh, yeah. Is this where his dead friends go to the party too?
Friends go to the party.
No one notices they smell or are gray.
They're gray like, after one day. They're gray.
It's like, there's it's a particularly, like death becomes her.
There's a particularly disgusting scene where the guy who was decapitated is trying to eat a burrito and the glop is just dripping out of his neck. I was like, that's disgusting. But Jessica Alba's costume was basically just her bra and panties and like with a little crazy cape over it. A little gossamer cape.
It's like Mean Girls. It's like
it was. Well, it was literally bra and panties.
Right.
Nothing else. So good times. Good times had by all. Any other thoughts and feelings before we go behind the scenes?
No, I think I've been very clear with my thoughts and my feelings.
I think you have been. Let's see. Let's go behind the scenes. This is the same hand that appears in the Addams Family movie from 1991. That plays Thing. It was the actor, magician Christopher Hart, brought his hand into both of the movies. So
this
there you go.
That reminds me of like the Seinfeld. Remember when he was going to be a hand model? So he had to walk around town with oven mitts on. It's like he's never worked a day in his life. His hands are so creamy and white.
It's true. In a bizarre twist, Jack Noseworthy, who plays Randy, who's like the bad boy with the truck.
Oh, yeah.
And Katie Wright, who plays Tanya, the girl who's killed in the fan, discovered they were half siblings while they were making this movie.
Before or after they had sex?
That's the question. That's the question.
Yikes.
filmed in the same neighborhood as Halloween, 1978.
It had that vibe.
The school gym where the Halloween dance is held is the same gym used for the high school gym in Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie and in 1999's Jawbreaker.
I never saw Jawbreaker, but I did want you to say Carrie. I really wanted. Just say it.
Carrie?
Yeah. I knew it was the
was
same
it worth
thing
it?
Carrie. I knew it. We're going to start that rumor.
The dish soap that Anton... Hey! Devon Sawa plays Anton. He squirts dish soap into his mouth after attempting to smoke nutmeg and oregano is real dish soap.
Oh, wow.
And Sawa came up with the gag on the spot.
Boy, that is funny.
Shut up.
High comedy. When I was in high school, there was this drug book. And yeah. The Recreational Drug User's Guide. And it went through everything you can find, including nutmeg. Nutmeg was a thing. Mild hallucinogen, a little toxic.
Really?
But yeah, yeah. It covered anything you could think of. it covered smoking banana skins, but I remember nutmeg. They said before you hallucinate, you're going to be vomiting for quite some time.
Oh, I believe it. So it's like...
Jimson weed?
That's exactly what I was going to say. 100%.
These are things I read in high school. Somebody, you know, I went to boarding school. Someone has, there's one copy of every book and someone has to pass it around and we all take turns reading it.
Right.
It's like okay. Judy Blume adult novels Beverly and the Cleary. Recreational. Not Beverly Cleary.
In 2007, Seth Green, who played Mick, the zombie friend, told the Onion AV Club about his experiences of filming Idle Hands. He says the best thing about the movie was that everybody working on it had a different mission statement. We all thought we were making a different movie. Me and the boys, the other actors, Devin and Eldon, we were convinced we were making a high drama with some comedic elements. And we tried to make our relationship as lifelong best friends believable.
And they were the worst actors ever. This was not Succession.
The director was attempting to make a throwback Italian horror film, like a Dario Argento flick.
Lies! How dare you? Get that name out of your mouth, you son of a whore.
The writers really wanted it to be Heathers. And yeah. The studio
and
was
it wasn't.
And it wasn't. And the studio was listening to the test marketing and saying that they really wanted the zombies to be cuter and have more wacky antics. And apparently all the kids in the audience thought there should be more pot smoking.
So it was just a conglomerate mess that makes no sense.
Right. Pretty much. There should be more pot smoking. That pot should save the day. And somewhere, somehow, Jessica Alba needed to take her top rift off.
At no point did anyone, there was never a clear vision of what this is, and it shows.
Oh, absolutely. It's a hodgepodge of bizarre elements.
And no one bothered to actually read the script and say, well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? They clearly threw a bucket of money at them.
Absolutely. No question.
I'm back in the New York groove.
Should we talk about the cast and crew?
Why not?
Why not indeed? Let's see. The director was someone named Rodman Flender.
That can't be real.
Who is he, you ask?
Yeah.
He directed two episodes of
The Office.
He has
no social security number. He didn't exist before you said his name. That's not a real name.
He directed Conan O'Brien Can't Stop in 2011.
Okay.
He directed one episode of On Becoming a God in Central Florida.
You know it, don't you? I did see it.
And he directed the 1991 movie The Unborn.
Okay.
Do anything for you?
No.
Let's see. Cast. Devon Sawa played Anton Tobias. Anton was named after what?
Anton Chekhov.
Anton LaVey, you should know these things. He was famous for Final Destination.
Which is fantastic.
Idle Hands.
Which is not.
Now and Then in 1995.
I don't think I saw that.
And he played Casper in the Casper movie from 1995.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Okay.
Seth Green played Mick. You know him from Robot Chicken. He did 227 episodes of Robot Chicken.
Okay.
He was in The Italian Job playing Lyle in 2003.
All right.
He was in Austin Powers International Man of Mystery playing Scott Evil.
Yeah.
And
that was what, 30 years ago?
It was a while ago. I first remember old Seth Green, because he was in Can't Buy Me Love, playing the wacky younger brother, 150 years ago.
Okay.
Let's see. Jessica Alba played Molly. You know her from such things as The Fantastic Four in 2005.
All right.
She was in Sin City in 2005.
Didn't care for that.
She was in Fantastic Four Rise of Silver Surfer in 2007.
Didn't see that.
And she played Sartana in Machete in 2010.
I sure the fuck saw that. I did. I do enjoy some Danny Trejo.
Absolutely. Vivica A. Fox played Debbie LeCure.
Love Vivica A. Fox.
She was my little crusheroo on Vivica A. back in the day.
She's a beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman. 1996, Independence Day. She was in Kill Bill Volume 1 in 2003.
I love Kill Bill.
She played...
You know, there's a third. There's supposed to be another part for the bride. It's supposed to be a continuation.
I would love it. It'd
Quentin
be great.
Has drawn some line in the sand that he's only making one more movie.
It's probably not that then.
No, it won't be.
In Batman and Robin in 1997, she played Ms. B. Haven.
That sounds better than Octopussy.
That's true. And she was in 37 episodes of 1-800-MISSING. Which he was like FBI agent.
Was that a show? I'd never
it was a
heard
TV
of that.
Show, evidently. Mm. I think that's about it. Oh, like, although, did you recognize one of the police officers that he murders? Did you recognize him?
I'm trying to remember even seeing the police officers. No, what?
He was in The People Under the Stairs. He was Roach.
Oh, poor Roach.
Poor Roach. Good times had by all. Let's take a look at the rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Currently, Idle Hands has 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you know what the audience gave it?
48. Woo!
Not bad.
I'm getting closer to Vegas by the moment.
Let's look at the top critics, shall we?
Yes.
Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times says...
What's he saying?
Idle Hands samples other teen horror movies like a video DJ with a tape deck, exhibiting high spirits and a crazed comic energy.
Video DJ with a tape deck. Let's just marinate on those three things. Go ahead. Continue.
It doesn't quite work, but it goes down swinging with a disembodied hand. 2.5 out of 4.
You better swing a couple of beers down your throat before you watch this trash.
Owen Gleiberman from Entertainment Weekly. Dumb, blood-soaked, undeniably kinetic teen Ginwald bash. There you go. Anything else? That's
what else
about it.
What
is your rating for Idle Hands?
It is not the worst movie ever made, but I'm still giving it a one thumb in your ass out of 9,000 because I never want to see it again. I don't think it has a right to exist. It needs to be a film aside. And our eyes should be burned away for even having to watch this one more time.
Interesting.
I was obviously going in a fugue state when I saw it the first time.
Yep.
Perhaps someone had given me PCP to think, this is not too bad. This is kind of funny.
It was oregano and nutmeg, I think.
I was smoking the oregano and nutmeg with some PCP because that's the only explanation. Because I had no recollection of what was going on other than a missing hand. And a vague memory of this was kind of funny. Oh, this will be good. And then it was not. It was not.
And I'm sure this is a huge, like, people love this movie. Would be my guess, right?
For every piece of trash out there, there is a fan.
It's true. Every roller skate has its key, basically, right?
Oh my God.
People don't have keys in their roller skates anymore.
Not since maybe our mother. I mean, maybe Alfalfa back in 1932 did. I'm not sure.
Back in 32. My path is very similar to yours. I remember, look, I don't remember thinking it was the finest film ever, but I remember thinking, this is kind of my wheelhouse. Like, I like kind of campy horror comedy kind of elements, traditionally, right? I liked Waxwork. I liked Demon Knight. I mean, I can go on and on of these kind of films of this kind of vibe. My biggest complaint is it's not funny enough. If you're going to be this kind of film, I want it to be funnier than it was.
If it's super funny, then we're not going to hyper-focus on the fact that it makes no goddamn sense.
Right.
But if you ain't that funny, then all I'm looking is for the problems. I have plenty of times to sit around and pick this shit apart. If I'm laughing my ass off,
right,
I'm rolling with it. Suspension of disbelief. Why not? Absolutely. But honestly, a couple of tweaks, why can't it make sense? Didn't people get paid to do this? Were there not writers and editors?
Right. There's no explanation.
Did no one
why
say there's no explanation?
Right. Why does his hand get possessed?
So no why did this movie get made? Who said, well, the script doesn't make any sense. We can get a bunch of people that nobody really knows really well and throw a ton of money at it. How dare you? They could be making our films.
That all being said, I didn't hate it quite as much as you did. 1 out of 9,000. I'm not quite there.
I mean, it's extreme, but I
that
mean,
that is extreme.
It's up there with Rockula.
I mean,
Are you backpedaling? Are you giving Rockula a four
I'm not,
now?
Look, I wouldn't watch Rockula again. But the difference is that, like, Idle Hands had kind of a base of me remembering enjoying it. Whereas
right.
Rockula, I went in there cold and I'm just like, well, this sucks. So I don't know. I mean, I would say probably 2.25 headless zombies eating burritos. There was a funny moment where the microwave is totally thrashed and gloppified from when they cooked the ham and they just tossed the burritos in there. Oh, maybe we should clean that out. It's like, yeah, and then maybe we should clean the whole house. So that was
it.
So
that joke right there.
That was it. That pushes it over the top. No, it had a few chuckles, but not enough to sustain it, in my opinion.
Honestly, so. I think this is one of those things where I like maybe I came home from the bars like late and I was in my 20s.
You're on meth.
I couldn't have been in my 20s. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I would have been in my 20s and maybe it was on TV and I was watching it as I was slowly passing out and thinking, this is great.
Aaron, I'm doing a little quick math. You were not in your 20s.
Shut your mouth. That can't be right.
So, thank you very much. We're all across social media. We're on X. We're on Threads. We're on Blue Sky, whatever that means.
Whatever the
we're
hell.
On Instagram. We're on TikTok.
Kevin's on Parler.
True
Kevin's
Social.
On, I don't know.
We're on 4chan.
4chan,
no, we're 8chan. Not absolutely.
We're going to be speaking at, what's CPAC? That? Anarchapulco 2024.
Yeah, we will not be doing that either. We're also on YouTube. So you can also email us at the podcast that would die at
Gmail.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review, won't you?
Won't you please?
Aaron, what is your social media situation?
I got much media. Last I saw was on Artsy and First Dibs, Aaron Doherty, Instant Dreams Gallery. I am on Instagram. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I'm Don't Feed the Pigeon. And, you know, I'm on X and Threads and not fucking Blue Skies. I'm on Tumblr and Flickr.
Grindr.
Too much.
Chat Roulette.
Facebook dating, you know.
Love at AOL. Good Lord. As you guys know, we like to respond to comments, questions from the social media. So let's take a look, shall we? Responding to our Frighteners episode, Julia Wood Sheehan says, I'm love this movie.
She said, I'm love this movie.
Go talk to your friend, for goodness sake.
Good old Julia. Perhaps she was typing that for like the same condition that I was when I watched this the first
Absolutely. time. Our buddy Leo Allen, talking about our People Under the Stairs episode, says, I was equally disappointed by this movie when I saw it in theater.
What?
not a good one. Look, not a good one. Let's be honest.
Frighteners?
No, People Under the Stairs.
Oh. I remember thinking it was great at the theater. I was like, it's the rocker dudes. They weren't really even monsters. The monsters were upstairs. It's the rocker dudes who are kind of albino, but only in the face.
That's what happens. Absolutely. Then, if you're locked in the cellar.
They turn into mushrooms. What is it, like The Last of Us?
So, next week, we're going to be discussing the science fiction film Robot Jocks with our friends from Uncut Gems. They're coming on to... They offered me a couple of choices, and I said, you know what? I vaguely remember Robot Jocks from 1990. I don't think I ever saw it.
I see. I feel very nervous about watching that.
As you should. I
vaguely believe that I will hate it. But on a different topic... Ever since you watched The Last of Us, are you secretly afraid of all kinds of mushrooms, including the ones in your salad?
No, because I don't eat mushrooms.
Oh, so you're free and clear.
I'm safe. I'm safe from the mushroom-infested pandemic. Absolutely. Where can you go to watch Robot Jocks, you ask?
I will ask that.
It's on Prime Video.
How much? $15, no, you free. Bastards.
Free with subscription. It's also on Roku and Tubi with ads. If you prefer to see it with ads, the way God intended.
Well, you saw Amazon is now going to be showing with ads.
They are getting us. Everywhere I go, they're getting us.
Mother.
Very upsetting. I'm going to just have to
go. We will rise up one day.
Absolutely.
Do you hear the people calling?
Whenever it's one day to vacation, I always say, one day more. People don't know what the hell I'm talking about. The other one is when it's 2 weeks to vacation, I go, 2 weeks. Anyway. So, send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions about Robot Jocks. And we may talk about it on the show.
So it's a pretty good chance we will.
So thank you very much. And be well.
Good day.